or protection to law-abiding persons, and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. In the scriptures there is mention of apadharma, or occupational duties at times of extraordinary happenings. It is said that sometimes the great sage Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of dogs in some extraordinary dangerous position. In cases of emergency, one may be allowed to live on the flesh of animals of all description, but that does not mean that there should be regular slaughterhouses to feed the animal eaters, and that this system should be encouraged by the state. No one should try to live on flesh in ordinary times simply for the sake of the palate. If anyone does so, the king or the executive head should punish him for gross enjoyment. There are regular scriptural injunctions for different persons engaged in different occupational duties, and one who follows them is called svadharmastha, or faithful to one's prescribed duties. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:48, it is advised that one should not give up his occupational prescribed duties, even if they are not always flawless. Such svadharma might be violated in cases of emergency, if one is forced by circumstances, but they cannot be violated in ordinary times. The state executive head is to see that such svadharma is not changed by the follower, whatever it may be, and he should give all protection to the follower of svadharma. The violator is subject to punishment in terms of the shastra, and the duty of the king is to see that everyone strictly follows his occupational duty as prescribed in the scripture. Om Sundaya Krishna Prasaya Budare Sinti Bhakti Vidanda Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sada Sati Devi Gauravani Vachanine Neva Sesha Sandhavari Paschante Sitarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again, the supreme duty of the ruling king is to give protection, give all protection to law-abiding persons, and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times, when there is no emergency. The last chapter, this chapter. What about the anonymities that go on in the present day? How there's no rulers, no kachyas. What was said? There's no kachyas. Only a few vaishyas. No Brahmins, no kachyas. Some few vaishyas in this present time. Yet his Srila Prabhupada's purports are full of how, what is the proper dharma, what is the proper duty, how we should, that we need a class of people to set things right. He's very bold to write such things. I was talking to somebody once, and they said, "Oh, your spiritual master, he came a couple of hundred years too late." In other words, he thought a few hundred years ago it may have been possible to stop the degradation. But we know this has actually been going on for 5,000 years. It started 5,000 years ago. But I guess that was in the West. The person in the West was saying that. Of course, their history only goes back a few hundred years anyway, practically speaking. But it's such an alien thing, this duty, religious duty, in the West. It's unheard of. There's no separate duties for separate people. It's all one class, Malacha or Yavana. It said in the Vibhavasha Purana that there will be Shaktavesh. Avatars will come and preach the Upadana or sub-religious principles to the Yavanas and Malachas. So they were actually empowered personalities who come to, and they didn't preach. Well, that's right. Srila Prabhupada was expecting quite a lot. At least he was pointing out the difference between then and now. Before this age really set in, that this was the first sign that Maharaj Brickett saw that the cow and the bull were being tortured, mistreated, and immediately he wanted to kill them, the miscreant. But we didn't even know it was wrong. Those born in the West, a few years ago, we didn't even know what's wrong with eating animals. No one ever said it was wrong, right? Not our parents, not our teachers, not the TV, not the books, nothing. No, no, normal, good, healthy. In India, they don't eat. They don't kill the cow, and they're starving on the street. This is what we used to learn. And the cow's wandering around freely. So you're thinking, what kind of philosophy have they got? People are laying on the street starving. So it's a completely alien thing. That different, the different, the Swadharmas, and the different Swadharmas for different orders. The Brahmins, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Sudras, they have different set of rules to follow. It's not that it's all one thing. Therefore they have these, they generally lived in communities. The Brahmins community, the Vaishya community, and they had their own separate areas generally. Said in the city would be divided, smaller. But within their community, then it was very tight. The rules were very tight. There was a lot of peer pressure there because everyone was religious. Religious means dutiful. Dharma means religion. Real dharma. To follow dharma means to follow the orders of the Lord. So Baba said, you can't create a dharma. You can't create a religion. Religion means the word of God. So to follow that word of God constitutes religion or duty, dharma. And swadharma is your occupational duty. That we there's sanatan dharma, the swadharma, and there's something else mentioned here. Apadharma, but that's apadharma means in emergency you can do the duty of another, or a brahmana in emergency he can take the position of a kshatriya, for instance. Like that, so if it's an emergency, this example of Vishwamitra Muni, who had to eat dog flesh. And that wasn't, that was in between Treta and Dwapara Yuga. It was a long time ago. In the changeover of the Yugas, there was some animalities. There was a drought for 9 years or something. And it was a real emergency, you can imagine, 9 year drought. And he was wandering around trying to find food with his family, and he got lost from his family. He got lost in a forest, and he came into a hunter's house, and he asked for some food, and they didn't even look at him. And he was just standing there begging, and they just ignored him completely. And then he collapsed on the veranda in hunger. But he saw in the corner of the kitchen there was some dog meat that he'd been eating before. And it was rotten, it was decaying, it was old, it had been there a long time, intestines and the stuff that they didn't want. Anyway, he waited till midnight when everyone was asleep, then he went to eat that. He was so hungry. He was Vishwamitra Muni. So much magic, he didn't use it then for some reason. Then the owner come. The house owner was actually awake, and he captured. What are you doing? Stealing. He said, I had to steal. I'm so hungry. So I had to break my vow of honesty, truthfulness. Anyway, he was compassionate. He was actually a sadhu. But he said the dog is lower than the jackal. The lowest bar of the dog is the behind side and the entrails, and you've eaten that. So he was a little bit remorseful, and he was happy that he had fed a sadhu at least. He got some food. But that's an emergency. There's a drought for 9 years. Like often the Prabhupada used to this one with the Christians. Why are you eating meat? Thou shalt not kill. That's the first command. They're also praja. They're also citizens, the animals. So their answer often be, well, Christ ate. He distributed fish and bread. He performed a miracle. He went out to the city. He went out into the wilderness. Thousands and thousands of people were following him. He was very so potent. There was nothing to eat, and he said, "Is it? What have we got to eat? Is anything?" And they gathered all the thing. There was something like 5 loaves of bread and 7 fishes or something like that. So they said, "Put them all in one basket." They gathered it all together, and then by his potency, he said, "Now distribute." And they distributed, and everyone got fed. That he gathered up the remnants, and it was more than when they started. But that was that was an emergency situation. What are you going to do in the middle of the desert area there? Nothing to eat. And naturally, if it's an emergency, you've got a self-preservation. It's the first law of nature. So then you have to, you've got to stay alive somehow or other. But it doesn't mean that... Of course, it's emergency situation as far as Dharma is concerned, but there's no shortage practically in the world, and if there is, it's more or less half is self-created, and the rest of it is just they're suffering their karma, but due to the exploitation of the leaders, then do you see so much suffering in these countries, which you never heard of before, right? 50 years ago, 100 years ago, before you had all these, before the globalization, the people were living there in the remote parts of the world. They were living their lives, and they were going on as usual. It's probably no better now than what it was then. At least they had the Well, some of the tribals they completely vanished from the planet because of the greed of others. They wanted the more intelligent class of people, because of a lack of compassion or godlessness, these godly qualities. Then they will obviously exploit the weaker ones, the less intelligent, so-called less intelligent, materially. And they would do that. So you see that races of people have vanished from the earth because somebody wanted something they had, either their land or their possessions. And they couldn't live a simple, natural life like they were doing before. Like nowadays, it's difficult to lead a purely religious life according to scripture. Right? It's difficult. What is? You can't do it in some countries. Right? It's like recently, in recent history, then you couldn't practice dharma in the communist Russia. You couldn't do it. You put in jail if you practice dharma, religion. Religiously, right? Is to capture the devotees. Or anyone who is fertilizing or practicing the particular ritual in which they didn't authorize, if it wasn't completely controlled, then they used to harass them like anything, to the degree of torture in the devotees because of their religious, because of their practicing dharma. So in Kali Yuga, what is religion is taken as irreligion. What is religion? What is irreligion is taken as religion. So it just depends on how well one can talk. It's mentioned in the 12th canto, or more about Kali Yuga, the symptoms of the Kali Yuga as it advances on further down the road. That if one is just a good speaker and he can say words that you don't know what mean, you don't know what they mean. Prabhupada gives that example. I can't say the word he says, but he says, oh, he gives a big long word, a lot of letters. And you think, wow, what did he say? What does that mean? Of course, it's just nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. But, he must be very intelligent. He's saying words that no one's ever heard of before. So who's a good speaker, and who's, there will be actually able to bluff the other people, because the intelligence is going down all the time as the age degrades. So those materialistic ones, those materially intelligent, they will exploit the others who are not saying, just like they're doing now. It's the same thing. It's always been going on. Then it's like the might makes right, is the law of the jungle. But that's kind of natural there, because they're not advanced souls. But for the human species, they're actually advanced souls. But amongst them, then become again, they almost become like animals again. So it'd be might makes right, the biggest rogues. Who's the most powerful? They will actually run the states, the governments. It'll be by force. And who is rich, who has got a lot of money, that will be the sign that they must be intelligent. Because that's the standard, right? Standard of happiness, of success, is how rich you are. So they will be considered very intelligent persons if they're rich. But the other religious qualities practically will be disappearing. Marriage will be very fortunate. A woman will be fortunate if she gets married. A person who takes a bath every day will be considered a saint. So that will be the standard then. And it will be just normal. We laugh now, but... they were laughing thousands of years ago when they were hearing about it. Couldn't believe it, how the Kali Yuga would happen. There was that one incident, I can't remember which scripture it was from. And he said, yeah, you better believe me. one rishi who's been around for a long time, he'd been around, I've seen many of these Kali Yugas come and go. They couldn't believe that in Kali Yuga that would, the cow would be allowed to be killed. He said it. Oh, you better believe it. I've been there. I've lived through many Kali Yugas, and they're all the same. This is true what they're saying. The people, the lifespan will get down to 20 odd years old. 21 years, you'll be considered a ripe old man, Sri Prabhupada said. It's unbelievable. But this, it's a fact. Just like now we're living for 100 years and we think that's, but in previous years they did for 10,000 years. But in any case, it's one lifetime. And at the end, there will be the humans will be spawning children for food. They get so bad. So the animals are obviously going to live in complete fear, domestic animals. Because of irreligious practices, there's not going to be any, there won't be sufficient rain. There won't be sufficient crops. Therefore, there won't be sufficient food. Everything will become dwarfed. All the fruit, the grains will become very small. Therefore, the bodies will become small over generations and generations. Therefore, you end up with tiny little people. And on horrible conditions. The Prabhupada is saying, no, we should create a class of Brahmins that can lead society and lead it back again. Today he's asking this. Not in this purpose, but other things. To set things right again, we need some good king like Parikshit Maharaj. You see, even the kings after Prickett, they couldn't do it. What to speak of now? It's not an easy task. That's not an easy taskmaster. This is the ideal. This is the ideal life. That is the standard. That is the standard of life. That is Krishna's standard. You can't improve on that. So why should you water it down? At least keep the standard there. This is the standard. Whether you can reach it or not in Kali Yuga, that's another thing. But at least this is at least aim for it. At least everyone should know what it is and work towards that end. But what a job. Tell everyone in the West you have to engage in your occupational duties. Now you have to divide the society into four. Never been heard of. Even in India, there's very few pockets here and there that are actually traditional. Not a lot, you know. You see, they also become corrupt. And generally using their position. Nirvana, as using that to exploit the other lower castes, because all the good qualities gradually diminish in Kali Yuga. These things are expected. It's been done again and again and again. Still, over and above all that, we have to follow as best we can. Of course, there's only one, the dharma, or the yoga for this age is Sankirtan yoga. Yeah, and that's very simple, for anyone can do that. Whether you're whatever caste, or even if you have no caste, you can chant Hare Krishna, you can serve Krishna, some or other. But if this is the system which Krishna is established again, then it'll be the world will be a very nice place. As nice as it can get. But the opposing forces of Kali, they have these empowered personalities. And everything's on his side now. Before, there was no one on there. When Maharaj Bricket ordered that Kali to go to get out of his kingdom, then he asked for a concession. He said, "You can reside, but these four things are taking place." He said, "I can't. There's no way your kingdom, these meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling are going on." So they actually weren't going on at that time. This is just like the very first introduction. But these things are now, they're encouraged by the state. Encouraged by the state. Complete opposite. They legalize all these, legalizing intoxication, gambling. And animal killing. So what? That's the standard now, and it's been for, at least in the West, for generations. India, they always have a hard time. We heard how many cows are being slaughtered in India yesterday. Three and a half lakhs daily. Is that right? You mentioned yesterday. 350,000 daily in India. So that means that people want that. It's a demand. But what to speak of the West, where generations and generations they've been doing it. Whether it's maybe banned in some states, I don't know. Cow killing, at least. It used to be. Some years ago, there was one acharya who was going to fast, who started to fast if there wasn't a ban on cow slaughter in the state. I think it was in Tamil Nadu, maybe in somewhere else. Then the government conceded and made the ban there. But of course, that was only verbally. But they don't really enforce these laws. Fortunately, in the name of secularism. So it becomes all this sentiment takes over from the intelligence. And that's how it is nowadays. It's all based on sentiment. What the people want. But there's no direction for the people. And Kali Yuga, everyone is Sudra. A Sudra means mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance means just go sense gratification, that's the goal of life. Practically. The untrained. So that's what you'll get, that's what the leaders you'll get, that's what the people want. They want to stay in, they'll give the people what they want. So they give sense gratification. I mean, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. That's the prime goals of life nowadays. They're completely banned in the Vedic times. When people go out for a good time in the West, they go to a place and they'll drink something, so they feel nice, some intoxication. And they go to a club or a movie and probably see some of these activities. They go to a restaurant and eat some meat. And that's that would be considered a prime night out when it's a celebration. So it's the goals now. These are the goals of people. This is sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. And therefore there is a whole industry out in different ways to administer this in different forms. Because you can't be the same thing all the time, you've got to have different. So how to eat in a different way, how to have sex in a different way, how to different type of intoxication, it's just the same thing, but now they have to put different nuances on it. But now you can eat things which are unmentionable. Which they sell in restaurants, which you wouldn't believe. So that's Kali Yuga. Prabhupada said, no, we should train a class of Brahmins to everything's against you. Actually, every nation in the world is against you. More or less. So we don't get too hung up on it, otherwise you'll be crying all day long. What chance do you stand? But as best we can, at least we follow. We set the example. We follow ourselves. We'll take that practice. And we'll follow the Yuga Dharma. We'll chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna, associate with the devotees and avoid the association of the non-devotees. And then you go back to Godhead. Do the best to try to execute the will of the Lord and the Acharyas. That's all you can do. You can just endeavor to do it. But look at the formidable task. If the Lord's mercy is not there, you're up against everything. You're up against the whole world, practically speaking. You're a handful of people. So it's only by the sincerity of the devotees that will invoke the Lord's mercy that he could make a change. But whether he does or not, we're not hurt. Although within this Kali Yuga there's a golden period for 10,000 years since the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's coming, he's given the love of God to everyone. Anyone can take part in it, in this simple process. In any vana, in any ashram, no vana, no ashram, anyone can take the price is faith. And you can go back to Godhead also. But still, you see, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't make any political moves except when the government tried to interfere with the Sankirtan movement, only one time we see that. Otherwise he said, no, we let the government, who are you going to put in anyway? They're all demons. You get that one government out, you get another demoniac government. Another demoniac leader in there. So that doesn't really matter who's ruling. And unless you get a saintly king, then it's worthwhile. Otherwise, but if there's no one to choose, there's no saintly kings, then what's the use of trying to pull one government down? Unless you have something to replace it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't concerned with that, although he was very powerful, very influential. Right? He had kings falling at his feet, ministers leaving their posts to serve him. King's pandits were surrendering to him. The leading sannyasis were surrendering, as well as all the common people. He could have started a big revolution against the, but he didn't. Started a Sankirtan revolution. Wherever you are, you chant the names of Krishna, you serve Krishna, become a devotee of Krishna. Avoid the association of non-devotees. That's the basic, simple thing he was preaching. and you get out. You got to worry about yourself, right? In Kali Yuga, everything's going wrong. So he's given a quick way out. Yeah, it's both the Sankirtan process, engage in that, and you go back to Godhead. Leave the world behind, whether you see any solution to the problem or not. Leave it for the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. So even if you set it right, how long will it be set right for? Still, you endeavor. This is the standard that Krishna said. Try for this standard. That is our goal for the civilization. But in the meantime, we go back to God anyway. We're not going to give up the Sankirtan process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted very ideally within according to Varnashram, he acted very exemplary. Although he was nothing to do with it, although he's a creator of it. But he acted, he followed all the rules and regulations. But he didn't. And he was very strict that the others also did. Followed all the rules and regulations of the Vedas. But his message is simply chant Hare Krishna. Develop affection for Krishna. That is the essence. That is the point of all the rules and regulations. But even if you're above the rules and regulations, even if you have affection for Krishna, still follow the rules and regulations. That's the example that he was showing. Unless they're going to interfere with your remembrance of Krishna, your service to Krishna, then they can be neglected. So this message has to be given as far as possible, especially for our leaders, so that our mission is to try to give everyone a change of heart. Just like we've had a change of heart by the mercy of someone's given us that opportunity. So we have to give that to everyone, but especially the leaders, because they're, as it's saying here, the translation, the supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons. Law means God's law. And to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the God's law. When there's no emergency, when it's not necessary to do it. So, we'll hope, pray that this may happen. And we'll endeavor towards that. Simultaneously, internally, we'll be endeavoring to develop our affection for Krishna. So two things they go on there. So in any case, there's no loss. There's no loss for you. Whether the place becomes like Vaikuntha or Narak, we perform our bhajan to Krishna. We perform our devotional service. And that is, then you're always successful. So there's no loss in Krishna consciousness. Everything you do, if it's for the pleasure of Krishna, then it's successful. So there's no loss for the devotee. Even if the result doesn't turn out like we would expect it, or we hope it to be, doesn't achieve the result, still there's no loss, because the idea is you're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. So that's all. That's the secret of devotional service. One shouldn't consider oneself as a dura, that the Lord is actually the sanctioner of everything, and the result ultimately depends on Him, on His will. You simply endeavor, and if the Lord wants, it'll happen. If he doesn't, it won't. So that's not our... that we don't have to get too worried about that. We should be worried about our affection for Krishna is not strong enough. That's our main concern. And in the meantime, whatever ability we have, whatever we can do, we'll utilize that in the service of the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya.
He says that Kali Yuga, the princes of the mind don't count. And then I also read from Guru Gosvami Maharaj, he said that the devotees are actually living in Kali Yuga with something.
Who said that?
Guru Gosvami Maharaj.
Gauravanda.
So I was wondering if you heard anything with
Gaurangar Paramaswami says that offenses in the mind are not considered in Kali Yuga. That is a statement there in CC, I believe. And Gaurangar Paramaswami says the devotees are not in Kali Yuga, they're in Satya Yuga.
So therefore the offenses of the mind count.
Therefore?
Offenses of the mind do count.
They do count. The offenses of the mind count if you're in.
It's because the devotees are living in Satya.
Yeah. Oh, I see. No, devotees are living in Vaikuntha. That's too esoteric. Any Gaurangar Paramaswami could explain that one away. It's not, in fact, I'm concerned. Obviously, I'm not a devotee. If you're a devotee, then you can see that everything is wonderful. That's the Uttama Adhikara's vision, is everyone is. But realistically, it's, you know, we're only living for 100 years, not 10,000. It's everyone in Satya Yuga was Paramahansa. There was no religious vanashram wasn't necessary then. But anyway, he's talking about devotees, so I can speak from that realization. I mean, Kali Yuga. Yes, Mary. When all the people take Krishna. Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? After 60 years old. If somebody joins at 60, what should they do? Same as you and Maika. Huh? How far? What? Spiritually? They can go back to Godhead.
I will be seeing our movement. We need a whole lifetime
or
even more.
No. Why? You can't say because the devotees have come from different backgrounds. I mean, different levels of devotion in their previous birth. How can you say you need a whole lifetime? You don't, they may have been, you know, at a certain level in their previous birth.